If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rocking and rolling and ready to go on this edition of The Early Line. It is a Wednesday morning. Welcome into the Sports Grid Network. We are ready to go. SiriusXM Channel 159. Today, Donnie Wrightside joined by Davis Maddock. And our goal today is to set you up for Thursday, for Friday, for Saturday, for Sunday, an eventful sports atmosphere here. I can't wait to get us started, Davis. Good morning out there on a Wednesday. How are we feeling today?
I mean, we're feeling absolutely fantastic. Thanksgiving, greatest day of the year, really, for me. Huge gambling day, huge fantasy football day. I mean, we got, and actually, normally the Lions stink, which kind of ruins the day. Not doesn't ruin the day, but it doesn't. You don't get your day started off that great. I remember a David Blau start against the Chicago Bears one year. Generally, they kind of stink. Generally, whoever the Cowboys play, it's set up for them to be cannon fodder. And, I mean, the Commanders are not a good team, but they're at least kind of a fun team. I am wildly optimistic that we actually might get three good, fun football games on Thanksgiving. We got 14 games in the NBA tonight. Like, we have a great little menu here for the next 4 days of sports.
Yeah, it's fantastic that now we see the sports landscape actually centralized around Thanksgiving, around Christmas, around New Year's Day. It's great stuff to have. And also, you do bring up a great point here. I've been around the block multiple times. Detroit has always stunk and always played on Thanksgiving, which might mess up some travel plans for the people out there. Why? Because it didn't matter if you traveled to the Detroit game or during the Detroit game. Hey, what's that score? Ah, Detroit's down 3 touchdowns. No big deal. We'll all have a meal right around the Dallas Cowboys game. So now you actually have 3 intriguing times here on Thanksgiving. 3 games to get ready for. We'll get that ready for you today. Also, let's get into the 7-7 topics. But before we do that, let's welcome in the radio audience. You're watching and listening live to The Early Line, radio on SiriusXM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside here with Davis Maddock, and we got you for 3 hours. So hold on tight. The college football playoff. Well, it's not here yet, but we are getting much, much closer. This weekend, we'll do a lot to determine that. But the top 4 seedings as followed: Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Washington, with now Florida State on the outside looking in, Davis.
I'm a Penix guy. Got no issue with this. To me, I don't like watching Michigan play, so I would prefer to have one of these more higher-flying teams in. Like, I would prefer Florida State to be in there. Probably won't be in there after the injury to their quarterback. I would anticipate this probably being the Final Four, but I will really be rooting for Washington in this spot just because I do like Michael Penix Jr.
I really think they nailed this one because Florida State, I don't care what they're doing on the field. Yes, they're undefeated. If they had their starting quarterback, I don't think they would have moved out of that 4 spot. But the simple fact of the matter is you're trying to get the best 4 teams in the college football playoff, not as what they've done before, but also project to some of the future stuff. Now, granted, that's going to work its way through. Washington is going to have to play Oregon again in the Pac-12 championship, which Oregon sits at 6th. They win that, they're probably going to leapfrog into the top 4. And then, of course, number 2 and number 3, Ohio State and Michigan, something to keep an eye on. I'll tell you what's to keep an eye on yesterday. 251.5 was a total for an NBA game yesterday. 157-152 final. The Indiana Pacers and Davis, all I kept talking about yesterday is I got to get me a piece of Tyrese Halliburton. He was sensational last night. The Pacers, 8-5 on the season in an in-game tour, in-season tournament win over the Atlanta Hawks.
And it flew. It flew over the over. Was not even close. Wasn't even a sweat if you took the over on one of the highest totals I have ever seen. Tyrese Halliburton, simple as this. You have Tyrese Halliburton on your team. You have a top five offense. That is a pretty unique gift to bring. My favorite thing in the NBA right now is we are seeing a real changing of the guard. Young teams in both conferences are like, we don't know enough to be afraid. Like, we want to win every single game. So I'm big. I'm loving the Tyrese Halliburton experience there in Indiana.
Yeah, it was a good time yesterday because his points, rebounds, and assists number was 39. He scored 37 in a game that went obviously over 150 points for their side. That was an easy takedown here. I'll tell you what another interesting one was. I thought the Philadelphia 76ers would win yesterday over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Wasn't sure they'd be able to cover the number. Oh, yeah, Cleveland covered the number and won outright in overtime against the Philadelphia 76ers. Breaking down, Garland had 32 points. Allen had 26 points. Joel Embiid, in a losing cause, had 32, along with Tyrese Maxey's 30 points here. The Philadelphia 76ers lose another game on their home court to drop the 6-3, but a good win for those Cavs.
A good win without Donovan Mitchell and without Caris LeVert. So this was really the young guys, Darius Garland, carrying them. Pretty bad loss, honestly, for a fully healthy 76ers team. I guess the Cavs are pretty serious. The Max Strus signing over the offseason looks like it was a pretty wise one. And Craig Porter Jr. starting and playing phenomenally well for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Looks like they found their backup point guard, which is like a pretty big answer for a team that wants to be a top four seed.
And Davis, I do wish that Ben was here to explain what that actually means for the Philadelphia 76ers in the in-season tournament, but they sit at 2-2. I have no idea if they can make or not make this in-season championship. I'm going to say they're probably on the outside looking in at this point here. Talking about the outside looking in, boy, we got some unbelievable college basketball going on in Hawaii. 71-67, the Purdue Boilermakers in a lower scoring first half turn up the heat with 41 points in the second half to down the Volunteers by 4 in a top 10 matchup.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the powers that be for NCAA men's basketball just have to be pretty happy with the way these matchups set out. We had number one Kansas versus the number four. Like, it doesn't always work that way in the preseason tournaments. A lot of the times, one of the big teams will just kind of bow out early. They'll get back, you know, to the mainland and start their, you know, process of getting ready. So, yeah, very, very good college basketball. That's like kind of a new wrinkle to the Thanksgiving week, is college basketball being interesting on the menu.
Yeah, the Maui Classic always turns up and certainly did there. 73-59. How about this? Marquette with an easy victory over the top-ranked Jayhawks. Before this tournament started, Davis, I said, you know what? Let me throw a flyer in the ring for the Marquette Golden Eagles. One win away from crowning themselves Maui Invitational Champions.
Pretty good for them. I mean, when you are not a super blue blood program, getting that pub early in the season, I mean, I feel like that's kind of invaluable, right? Like, I mean, for recruiting purposes, for momentum purposes, for setting your intentions for the tournament in March, like, it's kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal here, and that's certainly a big deal in the Maui class. So we'll see how this goes along until we get to conference play starting in January. But these are some big games that you're going to want to put on your resume with victories when it comes time to March Madness here. How about this one? Shaq Leonard cut from the Colts. If you say right now, Davis, well, who is Shaq Leonard? Yeah, Darius Leonard. Yeah, he used to be a really good football player, but injuries have caught up. He's now going to be on the move. Keep in mind, if he is picked up on the waiver wire, $6 million is still owed to him this season. I don't know if anybody's going to pick him up on the waiver wire, but he's going to be a hot commodity out on the free agent market here soon.
I would expect him to clear waivers, and I would expect him to sign, you know, Ravens, Chiefs, one of these. I mean, it's just always what happens with these guys. I would guess we're probably not going to hear his name much, though. I think the amount of gas left in that tank is pretty minimal at this point.
Yeah, we'll see where he lands and certainly want to maybe chase a ring here. How about this one? A 4-game suspension for Broncos defensive back Kareem Jackson was upheld, which is a stunner because anytime anybody appeals anything, it seems like in professional sports, they get some of that stuff knocked off here. But Kareem Jackson, look, the headhunter, you should call him, is now out for 4 games here. And by the way, out for 4 games in a big spot for Denver, who looks like they're trying to make a charge into the playoffs. We'll see how it turns out this weekend if Denver can pick up another victory here. But you know where we're going to go next? Yeah. We're going to talk a little college basketball, a little NBA basketball. It's a 3-hour tour today on the Early Line. Don't you go anywhere. It's Davis and Donnie right here in the morning on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, right back here on the Early Line, a Wednesday morning edition. Davis Maddock and Donnie Wrightside here. Let's talk some college basketball. Let's talk some professional basketball. The Maui Invitational has given us sensational basketball so far. So many times, Davis, I looked at myself and I say, you know what? If you're looking like at an aircraft carrier, you're looking at a gym in Cancun, in the Bahamas, it's like, hey, man, what's the deal here? Where are they playing these games? But quite frankly, the superstars and the big teams come out to shine typically every year in the Maui Classic. Now, for my money, I would like to go to the Maui Classic every year if I was a college basketball team, and rightfully so. You just can't do that. It's against the rules. Otherwise, every single team would want to be there every single year. But how about last night? 73-59 Kansas, or excuse me, 73-59 Marquette over Kansas. Here's the interesting part about this tournament. Usually played in Maui in a small gym. That's basically a glorified high school. Real soft rims, the games go over the total. Due to the Maui fires, this has been moved from Maui over to the Big Island in Honolulu, which then you say, well, okay, a little bit bigger of an atmosphere. Maybe the rims aren't the same. We had a game stay well under once again here with Marquette and Kansas, 73-59. The reason being, Davis, sometimes I talk about this when you enter into college basketball, into March Madness. You're playing in different arenas here that you might not be used to. And also, how many of those Elite Eight, Sweet 16 sites and Final Four sites are played at football stadiums in domes with 80,000, 90,000 people where the shooting backdrop is a little bit harder. Take a look at some of these statistics from yesterday. 6 of 17 from three-point range here for Kansas. You take a look at Marquette, 6 of 25 for three-point range, staying under the total. But my goodness, this was a huge win for Marquette early in the season as a measuring test. Kansas has been very good, so has Marquette. This is one that you're going to be able to put on your calendar and say at the end of the season, if you're fighting for a 1, 2, or 3 seed, hey guys, we beat the number one team in Kansas earlier. Check it out.
I mean, these are two of the top 10 KenPom teams. I do think that is such an interesting thing about college basketball, though, which, like, it literally feels insane that, you know, up to like 10, 15% of a team's sample would be played in an arena, be played in a stadium where the guys are so unused to the surroundings. I mean, there is really no analogy to this. I guess maybe in baseball where the stadium sizes are a little bit different. Like, you know, if you go, if you have a road trip to play in Oakland and then you go play in Colorado, you couldn't really find two different types of environments. But anyone who's played a little bit of ball knows there's like a very big difference between playing in a regular size gym, playing outdoors, you know, with the steel double rimmed hoops. Like it's like a pretty big difference. And, you know, these the aircraft carrier games are like one thing, but switching it from a small gym to a huge gym is like a crazy difference. Not that I'm really excusing the Kansas loss here. Like Kansas should be winning this game. They have like a bunch of like absolute five-star recruits. They get Hunter Dickinson from Michigan, you know, the 7-1 center who's like, he's like actually kind of unbelievable to watch play. I mean, this is not a good loss for Kansas to be losing to Marquette here, honestly. Like they are probably pretty disappointed with themselves because they always do well in this preseason tournament. And generally speaking, Kansas doesn't let you down to the second round of, you know, the NCAA tournament. Like that's their spot to start letting you down.
Yeah, we're going to talk about letdowns here in the second round of the NCAA tournament here, Davis. Oh, that's those Purdue Boilermakers here. Actually picked up a big win, 71-67 over the Tennessee Volunteers. Now, we were waxing poetic yesterday at how well Zach Edey can shoot free throws here. Not the case yesterday. Edey actually chipped in with 23 points, 10 rebounds, but only 9 of 17 from the free throw line. And by the way, as a team, 29 of 48 from the charity stripe for the Purdue Boilermakers, Davis. They actually won this basketball game, which is equally impressive. They only shot 26% from three-point range and 35% from the field. Just goes to show you sometimes you're playing good defense in back-to-back games, it's not always easy. But the Purdue Boilermakers get a big victory over the SEC power Tennessee Vols.
They do get a big victory. I mean, that is also kind of one of the things early in the season and just with college basketball in general, with everything coming down to these one game samples, the teams, like we know just in general in basketball, we know optimizing for making three pointers is how you win basketball games. But when you're dealing with a bunch of 18, 19 year old kids who probably like, I mean, I don't know how many of the guys from this game are going to end up being rotation NBA players, like 2, maybe 3, like at the absolute max, it's actually like a better recipe in college basketball to just get to the free throw line. Like those are just going to generate better opportunities. And so it is so interesting in college basketball, like the upsets are always there because teams are shooting so many three pointers now, But anyone can go on a Houston Rockets run where you're 0 of 27 from the 3-point line over a period, and that is what allows, you know, Tennessee to lose in these spots like that.
FanDuel Sportsbook here, Davis, getting some odds posted on who's going to be the national champion. Now, we got a long way to go, 30-plus games for each one of these teams, but also maybe an indication of what we're getting out of the Maui Invitational. Purdue, 11-1, coming in first place here. I should say top of the leaderboard at the odds market in the FanDuel Sportsbook. Marquette, 14-1, followed by Kansas, also at 14-1. We'll get a little settle up here, so I assume these odds are going to move based on if Purdue can take down Marquette or vice versa. From a gambling perspective for myself, Davis, I don't take any preseason numbers in college basketball. I'm not fluid enough on the rosters here. Once we get through conference play into the conference tournaments and also into March Madness, I love the far away on futures because you get great prices before the start of that tournament. If we're looking at the odds here, I'm not even going to ask you to make any wagers. Do you bet preseason college basketball? Do you wait for a certain time? How do you handicap college basketball in totality for yourself, Davis?
Yeah, I bet Houston every single year because they're always a top three team in KenPom, and then they never win. I mean, that's just I think I probably have bet Houston every year for the last 4 years. I mean, that's just kind of generally been what I've done. As long as Kelvin Sampson has been the coach, they crush every single year. They play this great defense, and then they find a way to not win the men's tournament. Like it's just kind of the way that it goes. And right now that is true. They are listed as 20-1 with our friends over at the FanDuel Sportsbook. They're the number two team on KenPom. That would obviously suggest a decent amount of value. They're going to end the year as a top five team in the KenPom efficiency stuff. And they still probably won't win the men's tournament. It's so brutal. I mean, college basketball, you got to be a real sicko to be grinding this stuff early in the season, which is not to say that I am not a real sicko. It's just my sickness generally takes me in a different direction.
Yeah, it's the football sickness. That's what we have right now. But trust me, once January and February comes, college basketball, sensational in-conference play. You get a lot of those numbers filling in, and you can make some pretty astute bets there. Let's flip it over to the NBA. Talking about some pretty astute bets and wins, not for the Philadelphia 76ers, going down to the Cleveland Cavaliers by 3 points in overtime in a game that saw Tyrese Maxey play 47 minutes overall and come up with 30 points in a losing effort. And as we started the show, Davis, not a good look for the Sixers, man. An underwhelming Cavaliers team comes in on your home court, and you let this one slip away here with a bad first half and weren't able to close the door in overtime.
No, and I mean, I guess to be fair, this is like one of the more difficult matchups that Embiid is going to face. Not many teams have two really strong defenders to throw at him, and the Cavaliers are able to throw Jarrett Allen and Evan Mobley at him. They're able to double pretty strong on him. Some of these guys who they added into the rotation, you know, Batum is in the rotation now. We're seeing a lot of, you know, a lot, maybe too much Patrick Beverley. I don't know if you're a NBA champion caliber team and Patrick Beverley is like your primary third guard. That's, by the way, why Tyrese Maxey has to play so much right now, is because the other option is bringing Beverley off the bench to play with him. I think this team does probably need like a pretty decent size upgrade, a backup point guard. And that, I mean, it's a real problem for them. And shout out Max Strus, man. Max Strus is making his money.
There you go. Max Strus made himself a lot of money in Miami, including in my 3-point prop parlays. Absolutely love myself some Max Strus. And by the way, yeah, still looking for video cameras here to help out Kelly Oubre to get back to the Philadelphia 76ers here to help them off the bench and give them that extra scoring punch quickly here. Pacers, 157, Hawks, 152. It had everything. If you love overs and you love betting props to the over, Davis, this had everything you needed.
Yeah, this was awesome. I mean, Tyrese Haliburton had 76 fantasy points last night. Just like really unbelievable stuff. And, you know, maybe a basketball purist wouldn't love this. I love this. Like, I want to see a total, like a pregame total hit 270 this year. And I really think we might see it.
And it might be with the Pacers here, of course. Guys, if you're traveling around or on a plane, in a car, get ready. We're getting you ready for Thanksgiving Day football. It's coming up next right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back here on the Early Line Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. Donnie right side here along with Davis Maddock. And now it's time to talk some Turkey Day football. It is my favorite day of the year. Food, family, friends, and hopefully winning tickets here. The first game on the card, as Davis alluded to earlier, used to be the easiest one to say, ah, I may be catching the halftime or the third quarter, checking on my bets. But usually Detroit is getting smoked, and we say every year, why does Detroit get to have this game? It's embarrassing for the NFL. And then Detroit goes, well, we always get ratings. And then we would counter Davis and say, anybody could get ratings at that 12 o'clock slot here. But now, if you would have told me 2 years ago, 3 years ago, hey, Donnie, in 2023, it's going to be a matchup between Green Bay and Detroit. Oh, great. Aaron Rodgers runs roughshod once again over Detroit in a blowout. Not the case. Green Bay comes in at 4-6. Detroit comes in at 8-2 for this ballgame here. And quite frankly, looking at maybe a possibility of taking down the number one overall seed in the NFC, if we're taking a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook lining this football game up, of course it's going to be a favorite here for the Lions at -7.5. The total listed at 46.5. Packers won last week. Lions won last week, Davis. What are we getting out of this game this weekend?
I actually think we might be trending towards a good game here. Like Jordan Love, I don't think is like the long-term answer. I think the idea of him, you know, being the next in the line of these great Packers quarterbacks, I'm probably selling that idea, but he's been a little bit better. I'm not like super optimistic about AJ Dillon, you know, filling in for Aaron Jones, who's not playing in this game, but Jaden Reed and Romeo Doubs have been really good this year, which is like, you know, they kind of expected Christian Watson to be the guy ascending this season. Dontavian Wicks has actually really, I believe he is their highest graded PFF wide receiver, but he's probably not going to play with a concussion. Luke Musgrave probably not going to play with this abdominal injury. So we're down to like Tucker Kraft and Malik Heath playing some snaps in this game for the Green Bay Packers. But it's Thanksgiving. It's the Packers and the Lions. Like if I don't like love a side here, but I would be on the Packers side. The number one thing I'm looking for from this game is what is that playing time split like between Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery? Like Gibbs has been so electric, and I know David Montgomery is like the perfect Dan Campbell player. Like when I imagine who Dan Campbell would love the most, it would definitely be David Montgomery. But Gibbs, I mean, dude, he is just electric. Like when he gets the ball, you're like any kind of that Jamal Charles, Charles Johnson feeling where you're like, he gets the ball and like anything can happen. Like he can lose 5 yards or he could do the Kenneth Walker spin around, make the defensive end miss and like whoop, he's gone like 13 yard gain.
Yeah, there's a reason why during that whole prep process here for the draft that some scouts were saying, you know what, I'm not so sure Bijan Robinson is the best running back in this draft. And that backfield combo has been tremendous. Even this past weekend here, I said to myself, well, who do I think is going to score a touchdown? Lined up a parlay that had both Montgomery and Gibbs to score a touchdown. And they both did that thanks to a Montgomery late touchdown where Jahmyr Gibbs got it down to, I don't know, the 3-inch yard line here. And then Montgomery blasted in for the victory over the Chicago Bears. If I gave you one bet in this game, Davis, in any time touchdown scoring market, on the FanDuel Sportsbook, you had to either go Montgomery at -145 or Jahmyr Gibbs at -120. Who would get your money in that spot?
Gibbs would get my money. I mean, he would get my money for two reasons. The first being they actually are using him more at the goal line than you would expect. He's got 3 touchdowns inside the 5-yard line in the last 2 weeks. So like pretty stuff that pretty good stuff there. But Gibbs is also, you know, I mean, it's the red zone for him is the 33-yard line. Like anywhere on the field is the red zone. True. To a guy that good. I probably would lean the under here though. Like this is going to be the game everyone wants to shoot out, I think, amongst all the games, but it's the one, like especially with the Packers being without Aaron Jones, it feels like when they get the ball, they're taking the play clock down to 1 every single time. It's going to be run, pass on every series, you know? And yeah, I wanted AJ Dillon to be good so bad. I did really like him coming out of college, but it just feels like he is like a really average NFL running back.
It'll be interesting to see there from that game, just from the pace of play. Would love to see Detroit get out to a lead and force the Packers to sort of push that football field, or excuse me, push the ball down the field. We'll see how that works out. But how about this next game we'll preview? Dallas at dinner time. I mean, every single year you get ready for this. Davis, I'm a huge Eagles fan. So in my household, regardless, we love that 4 o'clock time range because all we do is root against the Dallas Cowboys. But if there's a chance to make some money, maybe the Dallas Cowboys can be your favorite football team on Thanksgiving, even in an Eagles household like myself. We take a look at the Dallas Cowboys. They pummel below average football teams. They did it again last week against the Carolina Panthers. They're going to line up against the Washington Commanders, which, Davis, I have a grudge here against them. Why? Because my survivor pick was the Washington Commanders. But if you would have told me they were going to lose the turnover battle 6-0, yeah, I probably wouldn't have taken them. 10.5-point favorite here for the Dallas Cowboys, 48.5. The MO, as I said, is for the Cowboys to smash underperforming football teams. Do we see that on Thanksgiving Day?
I mean, I don't think I would take the 10.5 just because the legacy of the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving. They are 1-11 the last 12 Thanksgivings. And I mean, really, like, I don't, not that I'm a big trends guy, because I'm not. But what I would say is no team is more live for the fourth quarter backdoor cover in a game they are getting shellacked than the Washington Commanders. Sam Howell is averaging over 48.5 passing attempts in his last five games. He averages the most dropbacks per game in the entire NFL. Last week against the Giants, they were dead in the water. Didn't matter. Howell is still out there slinging the ball around in the fourth quarter. Like, they're not bringing in Jacoby Brissett. They are not waving the white flag, no matter what the score is. Now, I of the three games, this is the one where I do like the over. The Commanders are the only team in the NFL that has allowed more than 9 touchdowns outside of the red zone. They've allowed 14 touchdowns to come from outside the red zone. They are giving up, like, in a league where rushing efficiency is down, passing efficiency is down, teams are not generating explosive plays. This is the lowest scoring year in the NFL since 2009. It's not true against the Commanders. You can dial up whatever you want against the Commanders. And to associate that with the over, this is a divisional rivalry, and we have seen the Cowboys do this. Dak Prescott threw a 41-yard deep ball touchdown to Michael Gallup, up 33-3 against the New York Giants. They do not care. They are coming into this spot, and they are saying, and also, by the way, I think the Cowboys would love for Dak to win the MVP. I really do. I think that would just sort of justify kind of everything they did. And to me, he's not the favorite right now. I believe he's third with our friends over on the FanDuel Sportsbook behind Mahomes. Actually, I think he's fourth, but he's behind Hurts, Allen, and Mahomes. Not justifiable to me. Like, Dak has been the best quarterback in the NFL this year relative to what his preseason expectations were. So I like the over here for sure.
Yeah, Dak Prescott, I have him thrown into a parlay tomorrow. I love his over 1.5 touchdowns tomorrow, passing touchdown, but a little bit expensive, -205. Threw it in with Brock Purdy to do the same in a game we'll take a look at in just a few moments. But if we're taking an angle from the Washington Commanders here, we know they're going to be throwing the football a lot. Micah Parsons might have 2 or 3 sacks, doesn't matter. I might be, as you said, 40-plus passing attempts tomorrow. Seems like a lock for Howell. If I give you the wide receivers, Davis, tomorrow on the FanDuel Sportsbook for the Commanders, McLaurin, Thomas, Samuel, and Dotson, 57.5, 38.5, 29.5, and 32.5. Who would you take as the wide receiver to go over the receiving yards tomorrow in that game?
I would take CeeDee would be the number one. I mean, like, not only has the volume been really good, but there's been a clear, like, decision as a team to get him the ball. Like, he was, again, like, kind of like Christian McCaffrey a couple weeks ago, where they were, like, bringing him in with Sam Darnold trying to get him a touchdown in the fourth quarter. They left CeeDee in that game against the Giants to get him those 10 receptions, because he'd set an NFL record for most 10-game receptions in a row. Anytime the coaching staff makes a decision to get a guy stats, like, I think you really want to pay attention to that, because it's going to be useful for player prop betting. And then actually after that, I would take Dotson as the second guy, because he's been a little bit more involved with Curtis Samuel dealing with his toe injury and actually ejected from the game last week. And I feel like Dotson has just been running bad all year. Like, I think he's just a really good player who just has kind of been running bad with the team being that pass heavy. What about you?
Yeah, no. If I'm taking a look here, I've been waiting for Terry McLaurin to wake up the entire season to have some big games, and figuring with Bieniemy coming over, they would really open it up and say, hey, you can't really put him in a Tyreek Hill type role because he's not as fast as Tyreek, but he can do similar things there. I'm looking for Terry McLaurin to finally wake up, maybe get in the end zone tomorrow, and certainly have a decent day. Let's flip it over to the nightcap here. Yes, there's a triple header on Thanksgiving Day, and if you're the Seahawks, make a field goal, win a game, good vibes coming into this one. They missed it last week. The Rams won. Now the Seattle Seahawks in that grind with the San Francisco 49ers, who are favored to win this football game at the FanDuel Sportsbook, -7 and a total of 43. McCaffrey back into the end zone last week, back-to-back performances that we loved from the San Francisco offense. Davis, does that offense continue to roll in Seattle tomorrow night?
Yeah, this is going to be a big role. I mean, Purdy is, I guess the thing is Purdy is just going to be super sensitive to the sort of game script that he is thrown in. Like when the 49, there's no team that punches down better than the 49ers. Like when they are up 10, they are just steamrolling you. Ayuk is running free. Debo's getting the end arounds. And you're just like, I don't even know what to do with this team. And then you get them down 10 points or you get them down 3 points on the road to the Browns. And they're just like, dude, we don't know what to do. They just get so discombobulated when they get punched in the mouth. I'm kind of worried about the Seahawks here. Geno dealing with the triceps injury. Kenneth Walker not going to play here. Now, if Geno is 100% good to go, like if he's feeling good, I actually think this could be your classic nightcap upset, you know, because I still kind of am a Geno believer. Maybe that is misplaced. This would be another game I would kind of shade towards the under as well. Both these teams want to run the ball.
Yeah, I Brock Purdy in that second part of my parlay here to throw over two. That's just what he does. It's in his DNA. Hey, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to throw two or three touchdown passes in this game and keep it moving. It's a Thursday interdivision battle, so it does make it a little bit closer here typically. But that 7-point number, that's a big favorite for the 49ers on the road. Let's see if they can hold up to it. Now, some people might be getting out their apps going, hey, Black Friday here. What am I going to pick up on Amazon? Well, yeah, you can pick up some good stuff there, a vacuum cleaner. I don't know, a fish tank even if you want it. But you know, we're going to get you ready for football on Friday. The Dolphins and the Jets and much, much more to go. Make sure you keep it tuned right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back out of here. Hour number one, cruising along on the early line, SiriusXM channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Davis Maddock and Donnie Wrightside here going over a football smorgasbord this weekend, which, wait, hold on. Yes, we have three games on Thanksgiving Day. It's like, okay, well, college football takes control Friday, which is a very good slate. College football once again Saturday, Michigan, Ohio State, fantastic stuff. And then you get to the NFL. But this year, Amazon Prime, you're going to be able to shop and watch football at the same time with just your fingertips here. Why? The Miami Dolphins are taking on the New York Jets. Now, Davis, I want to set this up because obviously this game wasn't going to be flexed on a Friday. But if you start the season and Amazon's like, we want to do something really cool. We want to start a new tradition. And the NFL's probably like, you know what? My ears are open on this one. How can we make more money? Let's put a game on Black Friday. Genius. Well, let's start this with a bang. How about Aaron Rodgers and Tua Tagovailoa? How about maybe the two best teams in the AFC tangling this late in the season in a centerpiece standalone game? And yet we get here the Jets, a 9.5-point underdog at home against the Miami Dolphins, because we have Tim Boyle at starting quarterback. So let's start from there. Boyle inserted for the Jets over Zach Wilson, a total of 41. What are we looking at this football game here from your side, Davis?
You are looking at one offense that's really good, that knows how to get the ball to their skill position players, that knows how to, you know, make everyone a little bit better, right? You know, really for the sum to be greater than the whole of their parts. And then you are looking at a team that is starting Tim Boyle, who in his career at the University of Connecticut threw one touchdown pass and 13 interceptions. And certainly you might say, well, how's that guy an NFL starting quarterback? Maybe he's been better in the NFL. You would be wrong. Tim Boyle has not been better in the NFL. His career, he has thrown three touchdown passes. He has thrown nine interceptions. By the way, one of those touchdown passes did come, you guessed it, when he was playing for the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving. We did see some Tim Boyle on Thanksgiving in the past. Speaking of the formerly forlorn Detroit Lions, I think the Jets have been criminally negligent with the way they've handled the quarterback, because the AFC actually not as strong this year as you would have imagined. You know, I think heading into the year, we're like, oh, all the good teams are in the AFC. The Bills kind of stink. The Bengals, even before Joe Burrow was out for the year, like legitimately were a threat to miss the playoffs, even if Joe Burrow played the entire year. And there were a lot of quarterbacks available. I mean, one, I think this team could have won the division with Joe Flacco at quarterback, right? But I got an even bigger bone to pick. Nathan Rourke, he was the best quarterback in the preseason by a mile. He has been on the Jacksonville Jaguars practice squad all year. Means he can get claimed by any team at any time, including the New York Footballing Jets. And he is far from the only guy, right? I mean, even Bailey Zappi, Malik Cunningham sitting there on the Patriots practice squad all year due to the way the Patriots handle their roster. I The Jets just make me so irrationally angry because they're wasting this. I mean, what do they have? The third best defense in the NFL, and they have Garrett Wilson, they have Breece Hall in these rookie contracts, and they're wasting it. It's a huge pain to me.
And also, as you know, like, injuries always happen in the NFL, and you're right. Yeah. The AFC should be much stronger, but when Joe Burrows of the world go out for the year and you take a look at Deshaun Watson gone, you turn around and you say, well, if we had a competent backup quarterback where we won half of the games that we just gave away, we would be into the playoffs. And then you were rolling the dice saying, hey, if we can make it to wild card weekend, Davis, maybe that we get Aaron Rodgers back here and we can make a real run at this thing. But they blew that up. By the way, just looking at a quick prop in this game, Tua Tagovailoa was 250.5 as a passing prop. Tim Boyle, 158.5. So if I gave you a free bet on Tim Boyle this Friday against the Miami Dolphins, is he going over 158 or is he staying under that ridiculous number of 158.5?
I mean, I would take the under. I would take the under on Tim Boyle. I mean, I would not be surprised to see. I mean, so Garrett Wilson, if you guys drafted Garrett Wilson in the second round of your fantasy league, he's been. I mean, Garrett Wilson hasn't been the worst pick in the world. I don't know. I mean, there are guys who have been way, like T. Higgins and Chris Olave, who kind of went right after him, have been way worse. But he had 2 catches for 9 yards and a fumble last week. I mean, we could totally see a repeat performance of that. I just, like, I don't even trust Tim Boyle to be Zach Wilson levels. I kind of thought they would go with Simeon. Tim Boyle must just be the nicest guy in the world. He must just be such a pleasure to have in the locker room. There's really no other explanation for a guy with this track record to be starting an NFL game for a team that is, like, pretty lot. I mean, the Jets, I guess last week really hurt them in terms of making the playoffs. If they had found a way to win that game, they would have been drawing, like, really live to make the playoffs. But I would go under. I would take the over on, like, all the Miami stuff, though, by the way, because this, to me, the reports that came out of Jets camp, it sounds like we're getting into mutiny territory where it's just hard even for that great defense to want to play. You know, it's like when you just get your butt kicked that hard every single week, like 3 weeks in a row, and you're starting Tim Boyle. If you are Sauce Gardner, if you're one of these great defensive players, like, how jacked are you to go to work that day? Like, how excited are you to play that day? It feels like the motivation goes down. I'm really hoping, by the way, Devin Achane plays in this game. Like, he got rolled over on that injured knee last week. But that would make Black Friday good for me. If we could get, you know, 13 Devin Achane carries, he scores a long touchdown. Like, that would be my Thanksgiving wish.
By the way, very rare for a football team, basically in back-to-back years, have a mutiny over their quarterback and the same quarterback, which was Zach Wilson. Yeah. They were wearing Mike White shirts on flights where Zach Wilson had to take that flight, which is hilarious in itself. And then this year, multiple times, you see Robert Saleh, you know, exasperated in post-game press conferences saying, I plead the fifth on why this guy is actually still starting football games at this point. So certainly something to keep an eye on. I'll tell you what this too. Boyle being that good locker room guy. Anybody ever been big into horse racing? If you watch the Preakness, the Belmont Stakes, the Kentucky Derby. You have the champion horse that's worth millions and millions of dollars, but he has a stablemate that comes out and calms him down. That's like Tim Boyle, like, hey, Aaron, everything's going to be okay. Good. You got yourself a job for life as long as I'm here in the NFL. We'll see how it plays on Friday of this week. Let's take a look at some Sunday action. Buffalo Bills, Philadelphia Eagles. How about this? At the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, a -3-point favorite for the Philadelphia Eagles in a total of 48.5. You finally saw the Buffalo Bills get right. Everybody technically feels like they can get right against the Jets. The Philadelphia Eagles in an emotional win on the road on Monday night, now a short week here. Eagles, Bills, from your perspective, Davis, what do you think we're getting here?
Well, I'm pretty upset at your Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, I root for the Kansas City Chiefs. So that was a brutal one. I mean, the Kelce fumble, I can't get the image of Marquez Valdes-Scantling's outstretched hands holding the football. He's got it in his hands. He goes to the ground. The ball is not in his hands. I mean, however, you also do see the Oklahoma Sooners helmet behind me. I'm never going to say a bad word about Jalen Hurts. Not only one of my favorite athletes ever, but just a great dude. Like, Jalen Hurts is just a straight up good dude. No issues there. I like the Eagles here. I mean, I think that, like you said, pretty easy to get right against the Jets. And I wouldn't even say, by the way, that the Bills 100% got right, because when you're getting right with Ty Johnson scoring touchdowns, with Latavius Murray playing a role, with an 80-yard Khalil Shakir touchdown, that is not going to be a formula that you can replicate in, you know, big high leverage spots. What they need, Stephon Diggs. I mean, Stephon Diggs needs to be having CeeDee Lamb numbers. He needs to be having Justin Jefferson numbers. He needs to be getting 10, 11, 12, 13 targets. He is the best wide receiver on that team. And by the way, Gabe Davis is like a real problem for them. I mean, he just cannot get open. Like this dude cannot get open unless he is 70 yards down the field testing Josh Allen's arm. And the Eagles winning a game against the Chiefs where AJ Brown has one catch for 8 yards. I mean, that is huge for them. I think the Eagles are probably the best team in the NFL. So I'm taking them with the 3 points at home.
Anytime touchdown scoring market here at the FanDuel Sportsbook in this game. And it's crazy to see, but it's always appropriately priced. Jalen Hurts now to a minus 180, because if they get inside the 5 yard line, that's his touchdown. Heck, when they're third and goal, he now can score on quarterback draws here. It's what they do. And by the way, quick point on that Monday Night Football game. When I watched Valdez Scantling with that ball in the air, I actually said to myself, Davis, as an Eagles fan, good, catch that and score, because at least I want the football back. Because so many times Kansas City gets that last drive, milks the clock all the way down, yep, and ends up beating you late. We have no time on the clock. So when he didn't catch, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I actually didn't have any bad vibes if he caught it, because at least I thought the Eagles have a chance to counter there. Didn't happen. Eagles won, and away we go at this point here. If we are taking a look, though, at the overall statistics here of who's actually going to win the Super Bowl, you still have the Kansas City Chiefs right up there at the top. And the reason being is I still think the Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in the AFC. So in order to win the Super Bowl, you have to get to the Super Bowl. Plus 450 on the Philadelphia Eagles, plus 450 on the Kansas City Chiefs, followed by the 49ers in a close tied for, I guess, close for second, I should say, at a plus 480 price. Looking at these numbers at FanDuel, do you agree that both the Eagles and the Chiefs should be tied at plus 450, or do you believe that there's another ticket out there that you'd like to pick up on one of these teams?
I don't think these are bettable numbers. I think honestly, you are like plus 450, so you tie your money up. Like we're here at Thanksgiving, so like, you know, you make a $100 bet, and it's sitting there. And then what is the price going to be during the conference championship games? Like, it probably cuts in half. Maybe you're getting plus 150 on both sides. Like, you know, if it was a screaming number, if I was like, oh, the market is super wrong, the Chiefs are actually way good, you know, that Rashi Rice will come through, they'll play Kadarius Toney more. I mean, I got no faith in these wide receivers. I got 100% faith in Mahomes. Like the idea that like Mahomes is washed or none of that stuff. Like Andy Reid's still this great coach, but the front office has made a lot of bets on the wide receivers, you know, bringing Tony in, they draft Sky. I mean, I guess really the big issue is Sky like can't even be out there. He's like one of the worst wide receivers in the NFL. And you still got to play three wide receivers. So like he's getting some snaps, too much MBS, like Richie James, who I kind of thought would be a steadying presence. He just hasn't been able to be healthy, but I kind of think he would help the situation, honestly. And then really my only concern for the Eagles is like, if a team really does just want to line up and throw 47 times on them, like they can. We've seen a couple teams do that. The one I can never get out of my head is that Kirk Cousins comeback in week 2, where it looked way too easy for Kirk Cousins to just be like, all right, Addison, Jefferson, Hawkinson, like we're just going to line up and throw the ball. Like, so I'm a little bit concerned about their secondary.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because once they get Bradley Roby back, which they did on Monday night, it seemed to be like more of a calming influence. And by the way, Roby made an unbelievable play on Travis Kelce to force that fumble. Who knows what would happen if that fumble doesn't get forced? Kansas City scores a touchdown. They probably win that football game. Let me ask you a question about the AFC in totality here, because the Kansas City Chiefs still the favorite at plus 200. I think they win the AFC, but I'm not actually going to bet the Kansas City Chiefs at that price. What I'm actually going to do from here on out, Davis, I'm going to put a one-unit wager to start on Kansas City this weekend money line. Because after the game on Monday Night Football, I took a look at the Chiefs' schedule. Motivated now, needing victories here. I actually don't think they lose any game on the way out, which includes up to that game against the Los Angeles Chargers, where unless they have everything wrapped up, that's one of those games in pause. So even though a $100 bet this weekend only is going to give you about a $25 profit, I'm going to keep rolling it on, Davis. Like, I'm a big fan of the Chiefs here, not because I think they're the best team over on the AFC, but I can't still trust the Ravens, the Dolphins, or the Jaguars, or the Bills yet.
I trust the Ravens, man. I am like the biggest Lamar believer on earth. And I think that there, we might be, we could have one of the rudest awakenings in the history of sports, where the Ravens come in to Arrowhead, AFC Conference Championship game, 6.5 point dogs. I think they can win outright. I think losing Mark Andrews really hurts. I think it can't be overstated. I mean, it would be like the Chiefs losing Kelce. It's a huge deal.
The only team, Davis, I took a future wager on to win the Super Bowl was not the Philadelphia Eagles. It was the Baltimore Ravens at a 19-1 price. So let's go Ravens and see what we got. More football coming up next. Don't go anywhere. We're going to keep it right here on SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment here before we hit hour number two of the early line on this Wednesday morning, getting you ready for an absolute feast of football on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which does include a massive game on Sunday. The Jacksonville Jaguars and the Houston Texans battling for supremacy in the AFC South. Take a look at this. The Jaguars, a slight favorite on the road at -1.5, a total listed at 47.5. The upstart Texans, can they continue, Davis, to climb that mountain in the AFC South?
Yeah, they definitely can. I mean, I have not believed in a rookie quarterback the way I believe in CJ Stroud. I can't remember the last time. I mean, I just say it's like he has the ball down, you know, however many points, like what, 2 weeks ago when they got down, I was like, oh, you left, the Bengals left way too much time for him. Like, he just is immediately coming down to score, like, no sweat. The Panthers organization just set themselves back a decade with their decision to take Bryce Young over Stroud and trade away those picks. And CJ Stroud is so good that I think that trade for Will Anderson, I mean, I thought it was really stupid, like, to trade the first round pick to get him. And it's not even going to matter, because in football, all that matters is having the quarterback. Once you have the quarterback, everything else is like so extraneous. They get the quarterback, you can make a dumb trade for a defensive end. Like, it just straight up does not matter.
Like, and you're looking at Stroud too. It's not as if he came into a position like, boy, he really lucked out, came in the third round to the Kansas City Chiefs, and, you know, Andy Reid said, you're going to be my starter because Patrick Mahomes is out for the year. Like, he came into a lowly franchise with not a lot of talent, making average wide receivers very good. The running game, that's been a mixed match. Now, Devin Singletary is running wild all of a sudden. Why? Because they have an active passing game. Even the start of the season, Davis, you're talking about, like, most of his offensive line still being out. It didn't crack him at all. It'll be fun to watch him in this game. And also, touchdown props here to throw more than two touchdown passes, which is over 1.5 at a -110 price here on CJ Stroud. Hour number two is going to come up here, and we're going to continue our talk here with the AFC South to see who actually has a legitimate chance to win it, and then take a look at Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, an offensive barn burner here. Get ready for hour number two. It's Davis and Donnie in the Morning, radio on the early line on Sports Grid Network.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.